from Plano, Texas, Word of Life Ministries, Doyle Davidson, apostle and prophet, servant of God, sent to you by the Father to preach the gospel to you. Want to say hello to Steady and all of his friends in Harare, Zimbabwe. They should be watching this. That was the intent, the purpose, and the plan. And they're going to enjoy it. That I've been there in Harare 1985 for a couple of weeks and saw many people healed, devils cast out. Amazing thing. We were in Chinoy one night, and we were, it might have been afternoon, we were there all day, praying, and we're up on a concrete deck, and about so high, there are people lined up everywhere in front of us, and all of a sudden this object came flying over the top of us, between two heads, thank God, and landed on his head and shoulders, whatever it was, a breakdancer. I said, my God, is Dale Littrell's son here? Hi, Dale. Amen. Well, we're going to change the format a little. We've been speaking out of 1 Thessalonians, first three chapters, and verse 5, talks about the gospel going not, Paul said, I didn't bring the gospel to you in word only, but power. Immediately you start reading 1st, 2nd, and 3rd chapters, you see the tribulations. Tribulations comes with power. Against the person that is ministering the power. Tribulation will come. Affliction will come. Why? Because the devil hates God. Not me, but hates God. In the 3rd chapter, verse 10, the Apostle Paul wrote that he came there to perfect what was lacking in their faith. Now, that's my ministry. I know this is a supreme insult to pride, but you have to have my authority and my faith and the gospel I preach and a spiritual gift imparted to you to increase your faith. So remember, Bob Carpenter was right when he said, you have to have me. I'm glad Bob said that. I can blame him. Hi, Bob. Glory. Well, we're going to move on. Today, in the 4th chapter, Kathy D is going to be reading, and we will share a miracle or healing, something, along with our teachings. And Catherine Currier of Myers, Colorado, who's on staff, Water of Life staff since what? Oh, sometime. 8, I think. And she'll be transcribing them and putting in them in the form of testimonies of Doyle Davis. All right? So you can read them and get full of faith, power, and go out and heal something. If you don't know it, I'm having fun this morning. You already found out, huh? How about that, Bob? Is it okay for me to have fun? Oh, Candace said it was. See, I know friendly voices. All right, Katie, you want to read chapter 4.
All right, verse 1. Furthermore, then we beseech you, brethren, and exhort you by the Lord Jesus, that as you have received of us how you ought to walk and to please God, so you would abound more and more. For you know that commandments we gave you by the Lord Jesus.
Walk and please God and abound?
And abound. Yes.
Abound?
Abound.
Oh, my.
More and more.
Not feel sorry for yourself? Right. Oh, let's move on.
Verse 3, for this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that you should abstain from fornication.
The will of God. Even it's the will of God for you to be sanctified. All right, go ahead.
Verse 4, that every one of you should know how to possess his vessel in sanctification and honor, not in the lust of concupiscence, even as the Gentiles, which know not God. That no man go beyond and defraud his brother in any matter.
Oh, did you get that? Don't defraud your brother in any matter. Go on.
Because that the Lord is the avenger of all such, as we also have forewarned you and testified. Verse 7, for God has not called us unto uncleanness, but unto holiness. He therefore that despises not man, but God, who has also...
Wait a minute. Does that say that people that despise me despise not me, but God?
That's what that says.
Oh, is that not nice? See, oh, those of you that despise me, you don't despise me. You despise God. God has so many fans. Next.
The rest of that verse, who has also given unto us his Holy Spirit. But as touching brotherly love, you need not that I write unto you, for ye yourselves are taught of God to love one another.
Oh, God teaches you to love one another, not despise God. We're on the despise cruise this morning. Because I hear those words spoken. And they're not spoken to me. They're spoken to God. I love it. When they speak thinking it's me, it's really God. Let's go.
Verse 10. And indeed, you do it toward all the brethren which are in all Macedonia. But we beseech you, brethren, that you increase more and more. And that you study to be quiet.
Study to what?
To be quiet.
Quiet? That's a good one. Let's go on.
And to do your own business.
Oh, and not be a busybody? This is just full of nice things. Let's keep going.
And to work with your own hands.
Oh, really? And not sign up? That's the only work some of them do.
As we commanded you. 12, that you walk honestly toward them that are without, and that you may have lack of nothing.
Lack of nothing.
Amen.
That's good, you know.
Yes.
Let's move on.
13, but I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not even as others which have no hope.
Notice. The Lord says those that are in the grave are asleep. Is that not cool? We're surrounded by people asleep. Do you know that? Wake them up. One day they will awake. You know that? Oh, they will. Next.
14. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him.
Isn't that amazing? If we believe that Jesus died and rose again, those that are asleep, Jesus is going to wake up and bring them with him. So they didn't get away from us like they thought they might be. Well, they could have. Next.
15. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend...
Wait a minute. Those of us alive can't keep them that are asleep in the grave? Can't do that?
Right.
You know, there might need to be some repentance among some that are awake. Well... Some are so happy that their wife or husband died. We got somebody chuckling, you know. Now's a good time to forgive them and ask God to forgive you. Do you know that? It is. Next.
16. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout. With
the Lord's come with a shout. See, it's not wrong to shout in church.
Amen.
What?
Amen.
Well, it's not. If you don't like shouting in the church, you may miss Jesus shouting for you to come up. Somebody said amen. Let's go.
With the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first.
Dead in Christ shall rise first. Got that? Next.
Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together.
Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together. I heard a preacher once, a nationally known preacher, one of your idols that you worship. And he was asked the question, when would the church all get in one accord? And he said, well, I guess when they're being raptured. And I laugh at that, because you think Jesus may bring a Methodist up and be by a Baptist and a Catholic over here, and they're going up, oh, I've got to forgive you, you've got to forgive me, and we don't have many seconds. That's the most asinine thing I've ever heard anybody say. Would you all quit laughing? You're making me laugh. Let's go on.
Okay. Together with him in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. 18, last verse. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words.
That's comforting. You know that?
Yes.
Thank God. Is that ever comfort? Those that are asleep, you know, I know quite a number of them, asleep. Thank God. That I praise the Lord for his goodness and his mercy, his long suffering, endureth forever. Thank God, his graciousness and truth. You know, I was invited to a Thanksgiving dinner in 1975. That's when I was in Argyle. See, where the miracles and healings we're talking about now basically took place back when I was in the wilderness. So you can look in Scripture and find out that Moses did miracles in the wilderness just to feed people. And not only that, but to give them water. Right? Moses spoke to the rock. Smote the rock. I was, had compassion on Moses, let me tell you. If you've been in my position, you'll really give thanks for Moses. Because he had a whole bunch of people. I do too, and they're all over the world. Thank God they're not all in front of me. Amen. But I went to this home. I was invited there on Thanksgiving. And I knew almost all the people there. Might have been one or two or three, I don't remember. But we were sitting, actually, I was drinking tea, by the way, and on Thanksgiving. And I finished my glass of tea, and I wanted another glass. And there was a gentleman there that was talking about, he had had a new sport coat, I think, made, and one sleeve was an inch and a quarter different in length than the other because of his arm length. It wasn't the tailor. And I sat there and listened to that testimony, And I thought, God would make these arms equal if this man would believe. So I got up and started across the room, and the Spirit of God stopped me. I turned around and said, God will make those arms equal if you can believe. He said, I believe. I said, put your hands out. Put them out like that. God grew that one arm out, inch and a quarter, and there they were equal. This man was a well-educated man. He had a PhD. Isn't that nice? Do you know God would do that for a PhD? A Harvard PhD? That's the love of God. No, I didn't have anything to do with it. I just asked God to make the arms equal. So I walk on into the kitchen and to get my tea glass refilled. And here sits a lady. And she had her arm upon a left arm, I believe. I know it was upon a pillow. And her hand looked like she had elephantiasis. That is looked like a foot of an elephant, swollen, scaly, dead, no life in it. None whatsoever. And it was, I can't recall, but I'm sure she didn't have on a long sleeve dress. But what I could see of her arm, it looked dead. Now, I was a professional veterinarian, and I knew something about dead tissues. And this woman had been attacked by the devil, and she had malignant melanoma. And she had been to a cancer hospital, and they had taken the blood, taken her arm loose or freed it from the blood supply. And they put chemotherapy in her circulatory system in her arm. And I'm not sure, maybe 45 minutes. That's been 38 years ago. That's been a while, you know. You say, well, how could you remember that long? Oh, I don't. God does. And they told her that they weren't sure. Now, this was her report, not mine. And by the way, she probably is listening to this. And any mistake I made, she could write it and correct me. I welcome that, okay? She should remember it better than I do. But anyway, I looked at that and I thought, my God. The Lord was saying, pray for her. And I was saying, I don't think so. Now, this is all under the title, Making of a Prophet. You see, God will prepare you before he sends you out into the wilds. I'm talking about the multitudes. Because when you get in the multitudes, you're going to encounter spirits that you didn't know existed And after you got there, you wish they were not there. They are mean. They're wicked. The devil is mean. He's wicked. He wants to kill. He comes to kill, steal, and destroy. So, somewhere after 5 or 10 minutes, probably more like 10, I thought, I'm going to ask this. Now, this was God. Now, I was a pretty bold person, but not praying for people. If the horse was sick, I wasn't afraid to do something with it. I had a license. Had a lot of success. Praying for people, I wasn't sure that was something that I'd like to do. But I finally said, would you like me to pray for you? She said, yes. She was so depressed, in despair, looked hopeless. And God, when He directs you to do something, remember, you don't have to have great faith in size. Size was great with mustard seed, huh? Yeah. So, I don't even think I laid hands on her. I don't have to lay hands on people. I just speak the word and God heals. And I prayed for her. And that was it. I went back, finished my tea, had the Thanksgiving meal, went home. And the next day, I had a phone call and they said, her depression has lifted. I said, she's healed. Well, how'd you know? Look, the devil is one that oppresses or depresses you. And sickness is of the devil. And he puts heavy burden on you and weight through oppression and depression. And when I heard that, I knew she was well. Somewhere within 3 months, she had regained, I believe, 95% of the use of that arm and hand, which at one time they were not sure how much, they weren't even sure they could save her life. And they didn't. God did. Because He wanted me to tell this testimony. Amen. But thank God, I believe she's alive today and well, and I give God the glory. What do you say we worship and praise God?